Welcome back, everybody. Final segment of the show today on a Keg and Tuck. Chase Robertson. We've got Charles Sizemore. Still a little bit of time if you would like to join in or you have a question or a comment. But there's also still just a little bit of time if you are working on your taxes right now, or maybe you're one of the folks that have, you know, we're one of those that gets really a head start on it and you're sitting there already spent your refund. But we get a few extra days this year, which is kind of nice. And for me, sure. I always kind of wait to the last minute. And
well,
I think
if you owe money,
I owe money.
You should always wait to the last minute. Yes. Otherwise, you're giving the government a free loan.
And so there's actually some things you can do that can help with retirement. You guys were talking about retirement last segment, you know,
sure.
about 401ks and
well,
things
you know,
like
people,
that.
You know, people that win the retirement race. Mm-hmm. Systematically save, period. It's part of their, you know, they get a check, it comes out immediately, they don't see it, they don't know, it just goes. And to speak to that, one of the things that you can do last minute to lower your tax liability, and I'm laughing because people say contribute to a traditional or a Roth IRA. I would not do your Roth last minute, but you can contribute to your traditional IRA last minute. There are different scenarios, and you can lower your tax liability by either $5,500, or if you're at the right age, 50 years or older, extra $1,000, yeah, $6,500 sure. catch up. That's a great way to lower your tax liability.
And what I did with mine is I kind of set it up where each paycheck, I just have it automatically go mm-hmm. in there
it doesn't
so
hurt
that
bad
I'm
that
ahead.
Way.
Yes.
You don't feel it that bad. But one of the interesting things about the IRA as opposed to 401k, you do have to make a 401k contribution before December 31st.
Oh, okay.
So 401k, you know, but you know, it's calendar year. But with an IRA, I mean, it's you can do it the day you file your taxes. That's fine. You can make an IRA contribution for 2016 up until the day you file your taxes.
Now, what about, Charles, because I know you actually wrote a great article on IRAs and all these things that you needed to know about. So if you're 70 and a half, you know, older, you've got to take that RMD. Can mm-hmm. you take that RMD and put it into your Roth?
Not exactly. You can do a couple different things. You can convert your 401k to a Roth. You can do a Roth conversion. You will pay a boatload of taxes, you know, the year you do that, but then you'll never have to take RMDs again. You know, there's no RMDs on a Roth IRA, but there's no, you know, quote, you know, the way to take an RMD and then convert that. I mean, it's kind of a multi-step.
Roth contributions are earned income.
Well, yeah, and if you're over 70 and a half, you actually can still contribute to a Roth, whereas when you're over 70 and a half, not only do you have to start taking distributions from a traditional IRA, but you actually can't put any – if you're still working, you can't put any new money into it.
Sure.
Whereas you can with the Roth, assuming your income is below the threshold and all that. You know, one thing I would definitely point out, before you do any of this stuff, you really might want to talk to a tax expert because mm-hmm. there are income limitations. You can't – not everybody can contribute to a Roth IRA. If you make too much money –
Oh, really?
Your ability to contribute is fine and solid. Exactly.
What about health savings accounts?
I love those. I use my health savings account as, you know, I made this term up. This is not an accounting term. This is a Charles Sizemore original. I use it as a spillover IRA. So all the money, I've maxed out my 401k, I've maxed out any IRAs and things I'm doing. Like, I still have money I want to sock away tax-free. That's what I use the HSA account for. Now, when I have medical expenses, I just pay them out of pocket. I just use my credit card or my debit card, whatever.
Oh, you don't use it for... You
know. I don't use my HSA for medical uh-huh. expenses. I use it as a spillover retirement account. I don't, you know, by all means, every person's situation is different. Let's imagine I had some sort of catastrophic medical emergency and it was, you know, I had to dip into my HSA to pay for it. That would be fine. And ultimately, that's why it's there. But I use it personally as again, this is not an accounting term. This is a me term, as a spillover IRA.
Well, the great thing about the HSA is that, you know, if you're single, and these are 16 limits, they can be updated. But, you know, single, you're looking at $3,350. Mm-hmm. But for a family, you're looking at $6,750, which is nice. That's above
that's
the IRA limit. But if you're over 55, you get another $1,000. So, you know, 80 to 90% of our clients, are families married. I mean, that's $7,750 you can put into that HSA, which really, that's almost a triple benefit of having a tax deduction, tax deferred growth, and then tax-free withdrawals for qualified medical expenses.
Exactly.
It's a great avenue.
And, you know, think about it. If you're in a higher tax bracket, if you have the cash lying around to invest in all this stuff, you're probably in a higher bracket. Roughly, you know, $1 out of $3 is just coming right out of your. I mean, it's you're lowering your tax bill for every, you know, $3 you put in. You're basically lowering your tax bill by a dollar. That's
sure.
Good.
Sure.
And that adds up quick.
What about carrying over losses that maybe you had from the prior year?
Yeah. Well, you can carry $3,000 over. I have enough carried over losses from 2010 to. I don't know. I'll be carrying them over perpetually, but maybe I can gift some of them to somebody someday. But yeah, you should always carry your losses over. Book that $3,000 every year.
Every year. And if you have gains that are, well, yeah, anyway, I won't get lost in the weeds, but yeah, you should, yeah, absolutely. Make every use of that you can.
Okay.
And then, of course, to maximize deductions, everybody's situation is different. But,
yes.
You know, if you're a small business owner, you know, run with, you know, the room that the IRS allows you. One of the deductions that I liked about international travel is there was a traveler's aid deduction.
Oh.
I'm not familiar with that one.
Yep. That was one of the most unusual ones that I saw pop up on different tax returns when I was at Industry Capital.
Well, you know, I think there's another, if you volunteer for a particular charity or something like that, maybe
sure.
Your time, there's mm-hmm. a way to log in your time, but there's also a way to log in your mileage if you are
absolutely.
Putting the mileage in there.
Yeah,
to go.
Keep good
great.
Records on that, though. I mean, with the
right.
mileage,
yeah.
I mean, if you get audited, they're going to want to see a journal log where you're actually, you know, putting starting address, ending address, and the number of miles. So make sure if you do take a mileage deduction that you have very good records you're taking.
Well, the thing to always remember about the mileage deduction is you cannot deduct mileage from your home to your principal place of business.
Your
right.
daily commute. Your
yeah,
daily commute.
Correct.
You can't write that.
So that can't. But once you get to the business, or that's where your starting point is.
You can start writing off, you know, your drive to the airport. Even I mean,
yeah,
that's where it starts. I mean, as soon as you leave your front door to go to the airport, you can start writing stuff off.
Well, I saw one on here, too, as well, and it talks about if you have rental property, because, of course, you've got to claim that as income, but you can also apparently take depreciation expenses.
There's a reason why Donald Trump became a billionaire, and I mean, seriously, I mean, real estate is the most tax-advantaged investment class there is. Most of your profit from real estate ends up being tax-free in the year you earn it because of depreciation, even though buildings typically go up in value every year because of, you know, that's the natural order of things. You can actually, they're presumed to decrease in value for accounting reasons. And so you can just defer taxes indefinitely. You take the depreciation, and once you use up all your depreciation, you can mm-hmm. sell the property, roll it into a new property, and start the whole thing over again and never pay taxes. So, I mean, make sure you get an accountant and do it right. But
right.
You can do it.
Yeah, you always want to, any of these tips, of course, yeah. These are not our recommendations. Just, you know, talk to a tax preparer if you have any questions. But just hopefully some things to help everybody. But anyway, I think that pretty much does it for us today.
It does. And folks, have a great day. Have a great week. We'll be back tomorrow at the usual time. And as my dad would say, God bless. Have a great day.